see this sort of retrospectively, go back down to hell, who's there? Awful lot of popes are, both in reality and predicted in advance as a kind of preview of coming attractions. What Cacciaguida says to him is, your cry of words will do as does the wind, striking the hardest on the highest peaks. And one thinks of Boniface VIII at this time, and of course one thinks of all of the other authorities, both secular and religious, that Dante criticizes in the course of the Commedia. But again, what he's saying is that you have no choice, really. You have to do that. That's your way of taking exile and turning it into pilgrimage. There is no other way to do it. There simply is no other way.
And so here Dante learns, in a sense, his own history, the history of his family, the history of his city. He's able to look at that in light of what he knows and what Cacciaguida helps him to see about his own day, and it's only at that time that he fully gets his own commission as a prophet. And from his great-great-grandfather, we find out also what's the true value of good ancestors. They set a standard and they provide a model. That the real value of having Cacciaguida as his great-great-grandfather, as a crusader, as one who is willing to die for the cause of truth, is that sets a standard for me to imitate. I don't necessarily get it from my great-great-grandfather, but the standard is there. He has created the model for me, and that's what, in a sense, good ancestors are for.
There's one other issue that he comes back to here. Remember when we were in Purgatorio, we kept talking about the notion of earthly fame and what it's good for. And in Purgatorio, we were told, remember, it's not going to last all that long. If you're doing it for fame, you're going to essentially be in trouble. What Dante says now is that, in fact, if I speak the truth, I will have a kind of fame. The way he says it is very interesting. He says, first of all, he says it negatively. Yet, if I am a timid friend to truth, well, okay, there are people here who, are not crazy about what I'm going to say, so I won't say it. I don't want to offend anybody. They're not going to ask me to be on Donahue if I start criticizing too many people. Well, actually, I guess they would, but...
Unless you criticize Donahue.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that has to, where would Donahue go? That's a very interesting notion. Yet, if I am a timid friend to truth, I fear my name may not live on with those who will look back at these as the old days. Well, fans, that's us. I mean, we're reading this poem many hundreds of years later, but the important point to make here is not so much Dante predicting his own fame, but saying that the fame is a byproduct of the search for truth. It's not something that you go out and seek for directly. You get it because, number one, you are a truth seeker, and number two, you're willing to suffer for it. Okay, so this turns out to be, the Commedia itself, the gift that Dante is giving back to the very community that exiled him, right? That he's taking it and giving it back to them.
We're going to zip on, literally and figuratively, in case you're just curious where we are. We've been talking about cantos 15, 16, 17, so essentially the middle of the Paradiso. And we're going to make something of a jump. We're going to leave out a detail or two. We're going to jump to canto 33. That is to say, the very final canto of the Paradiso and the 100th canto of the entire Divine Comedy, where Dante ultimately has the experience of God.
Now, we always make the claim, and I suppose this is as good a time to make it again, that no matter how much time we're given to talk about Dante, it's not enough. And, you know, we were sort of talking by ourselves and sort of saying, you know, we could have spent 12 more days on the circle of the sun. That's true all over the Commedia. It also seems to me to be particularly true at the end. I've often thought that it would be kind of fun. I know friends who have taught courses on entire semester courses on one play of Shakespeare. I want to top them and do a course on one canto of the Commedia. This one would be the one that I would pick. All right, and so to do something that would be my one semester course, our one semester course, in 10 minutes is going to be no mean feat. But I think it's necessary because, number one, of course, as the last canto, it's the goal of the pilgrim's journey. It's also the moment that generates the whole journey. If he hadn't had the experience of seeing God face to face, it's implied he couldn't have written the rest. And so we need to say just a little bit about it and what it entails. The problem is that here he meets God face to face and he tells us over and over again, see, the problem with this experience is it's beyond language. It's inevitable. It's ineffable. It's indescribable. And so my job now, he says, is to try and describe it. And of course, our job is to try and talk about what he says one can't describe.